Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Should have told you by now. We're back. It's 12 after. Thank you very much for staying with us today. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. Brian Riedel is our guest. Brian is the Grover Herman Fellow in Federal Budgetary Affairs at the Heritage Foundation. He's their main budget analyst, and he's our new friend. Brian, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you with us. Brian, and by the way, thank you for the hospitality here today. I appreciate that very much. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what's going on. A lot of politicians are grasping because they don't have enough money to spend, and they're ticked off because we're going to lower. Looks like taxes are going to get lowered. We don't know how much yet. The general consensus is among the people I talk to that's going to be around $450 billion over 10 years, mm-hmm. or maybe over as few as 4 years. And a lot of people are ticked off about that. Not only Democrats, but a lot of Republicans. And basically, it's because we're really licking the red off their candy, aren't we? We're taking their drugs away from them. They won't have as much money to spend, and they're already spending too much money, aren't they?
Exactly. You know, if you leave money in Washington, the politicians here are going to spend it.
It's their drug, isn't it?
It really is, and this is a bipartisan issue. Republicans, Democrats are all on a huge spending spree right now. And we're all focused on tax cuts right now because we want to take money out of Washington so that they don't have a chance to spend it. Unfortunately, over the past few years, the money that hasn't been in Washington has been getting spent with reckless abandon. Congress right now is on one of its biggest five-year spending sprees in American history.
Mm-hmm.
Just to throw out a couple numbers, federal spending since 1998 has increased by $520 billion
wow.
per year. If you break that down per household,
an increase per year,
an increase $520 billion per year.
Now let's back up for a minute. Let's overlay the current federal deficit,
$300 billion.
About $300 billion. You know, folks. Now, when you hear me say that it's not a revenue problem, it's a spending problem. What Brian just said to you proves that point, doesn't it?
It's a really amazing spending spree. I like to put spending in per household terms that people can relate to, because billions are such big numbers. Well, here's one way of looking at it. In 1998, the federal government spent $16,000 per household.
1998?
Yes. This year, the federal government will spend $21,000
wow.
per household.
$5,000 increase per year.
And your taxes haven't gone up yet because we're financing the spending by deficits. But you know, with deficits, eventually they have to be repaid. So unless spending is brought under control, eventually we're going to see a tax hike averaging $5,000 per household to pay for this runaway spending that Congress just won't seem to stop.
Unless we can get the economy going again and get some revenue picked back up again through the economic growth, which is the direction that the administration is trying to head in right now.
The administration is trying to help us grow our way at least to a balanced budget. We can recover revenue, you know, when there's more economic activity, there's more jobs, you know, the federal government will take in more tax revenue. Unfortunately, again, though, it doesn't matter how much economic growth we get back. If Congress keeps spending at the rate we're on, any new wealth that the tax cut creates is going to get right back into Washington so that they can spend it. And that's something that we have to stop. Tax hikes will be inevitable unless we get spending under control.
Well, and the thing that, in complete fairness, we have to remind people that for those 5 years you were talking about, only two of those years was one of the houses not in control of the Republicans. So this is a bipartisan, you know, I don't know what to call it, a bipartisan spending spree and our drug habit or whatever you want to call it that they've got up here.
It's something, at least on the Republican side, I think it's pretty safe to say that Republicans have given up on fiscal restraint. When the Republicans took Congress in 1995, they worked really hard to balance the budget and reduce spending. They've since lost their
courage.
I thought
President Clinton did that.
President Clinton grudgingly went along with as little of it as he could to get himself reelected. Unfortunately, Republicans a couple years later went native themselves,
yeah.
And they've become addicted to saying yes and being the one to hand out everybody's Christmas goodies every year. And right now we have situations where Republicans are trying to outspend Democrats, and unfortunately they're doing a pretty good job of it.
One of the unfortunate byproducts of 9-1-1, of the events of September 11th, was the fact that that event busted the surplus bubble. The expense, the war on terrorism, the downturn in the economy that it caused, that it contributed to, all that created deficit spending. So once that bubble was pierced, so to speak, that surface tension was pierced, it was almost as if, well, now that it's happened, we didn't do it, but let's make sure we get ours. And that's a bipartisan theme, isn't it?
You know, when an alcoholic who quit drinking decides, okay, quitting drinking is too tough, they don't just go and have one drink.
Right.
When they get back to drinking, they'll have 10, and that's what Congress is doing right now. One factor that we've calculated is that of that five-year increase I'm talking about, in $520 billion, less than a third of that spending increase is related to 9/11. Mm. The rest of it is an across-the-board increase. We have had record spending increases for education, farm subsidies, health research, highways, unemployment compensation, even small and lower priority programs that no one has ever heard of, like the Denali Commission and the Power Marketing Administration. People don't even know what these are. They've all gotten massive increases. It is an across-government increase in spending. It's a guns and butter budget that's very reminiscent of President Johnson in the late 60s.
Yeah. Well, let's you know, some of those things that you just mentioned, though. Education. I mean, somebody's going to say, what's wrong with that, Brian?
Even if anyone agrees with spending more on education or health research, there are good arguments for and against education spending coming from the federal government as opposed to the states. There are arguments for and against health research spending coming from the federal government as opposed to the states. But we have to set priorities. If we're going to fund a war on terrorism, if we're going to build homeland security, we can't also decide to make education spending the top spending priority, farm subsidies the top priority, health research the top priority,
right.
Highways the top priority. Congress's job is to set priorities and decide
right.
what's affordable and what's not affordable.
Right. Well said, Brian. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our new friend, Brian Riedel. He's with the Heritage Foundation. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I think I said 23 after. It is. If I didn't, it is. www.jbsba.com. That's our website. Check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Brian Riedel is our guest. He's with the Heritage Foundation. He's one of their top analysts. And, Brian, tell us a little bit about the Heritage Foundation.
The Heritage Foundation is a nonpartisan group of Washington, D.C., dedicated to low taxes, small government, economic freedom, a strong foreign policy. We do research. We try to communicate our priorities with the Hill. And we have a lot of good research and a lot of good papers on our website, www.heritage.org, where you can learn a lot about what government does and how we could do it better.
What about heritage.org.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if someone wanted to participate with you, someone wanted to become part of your organization, they liked what you had to say, they liked what you did, and they wanted to contribute to that, how would they do that?
They can go to our website, which shows how to get in touch with us. You can send us email, you can give us a call, you can mail a letter. We definitely are very open to anybody checking out what we have, and if they're impressed, helping us out, and helping us push for more economic freedom and a stronger foreign policy.
Right. All right. Well, And as my audience knows, there that makes me a fellow traveler of theirs, because I certainly believe in free markets and free trade. Brian, let's talk some more about all the spending that's going on. What about, you know, another thing that you said that they spent money on was unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what does the Heritage Foundation think about increasing the unemployment benefits?
The Heritage Foundation feels that unemployment benefits are not necessarily a bad thing. This is a government spending that's not nearly as bad as what we consider to be other government spending, but there are negative sides of it. There are those who say that government spending gives people an incentive to stay unemployed, and that's why the Bush administration's proposal for personal reemployment accounts was such a good idea, where it said that we're going to give unemployed workers $3,000 to look for a job, to find a job,
mm-hmm.
to make up for the expenses in the long run that you have when you're looking for a job. And if you do find a job in the meantime, you get to keep the extra money.
Right.
So it's like unemployment insurance, except you have an incentive to find a job as fast as possible instead of exhausting your benefits. Sure, current unemployment benefits aren't necessarily a bad thing, but there are sometimes a way to do it with better incentives to make sure that people are out there really, really working hard to find the right job.
Right. Well, and of course, a lot of that was caused by the fact that we were attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy was put into a tailspin, and, you know, whatever we can do to take those crazy people out of the equation for free countries, for people, mm-hmm. peace-loving countries, people who have free societies where people come move as they want to. Whatever we can do to get those people off mm-hmm. Off the radar screen, we need to be doing that.
We're going to get this economy back up and going just like it was before 9/11, and we're going to make sure that no terrorists can make sure that our economy dips a little bit. We'll be back.
Right. What about spending for the future? What about what's coming up? Is there anything on the horizon that makes you believe that Congress is going to try to rein in their wild spending sprees?
Not yet. Right now,
you don't see any leadership out there. Then
no. Right now, I think what Congress is banking on, I think, is that hopefully if we can get tax cuts through, that can somewhat cause pressure to lower spending a little bit, because if you take the money out of Washington, then any new spending has to increase a deficit, and people are not very comfortable with big deficits in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some kind of long-term strategy that, you know, don't let the money get to Washington in the first place, then they'll stop spending. But on specific legislation, bill-by-bill basis, there's really no leadership on spending out here. No one is really focused on making sure.
On either side of the aisle.
No, on neither side of the aisle. It seems like whenever they're negotiating, spending restraint's the first thing negotiated
mm-hmm.
out. Sometimes they'll try to make sure that a program will work somewhat better, accomplish a few more goals. But the idea of actually spending less is something that's just never seriously considered.
What about the presidential veto?
President Bush has not vetoed a bill yet, which is pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
3 years as president.
I need to have a talk with him about that.
There have been a lot of good candidates. There was last year's $180 billion farm bill. We were hoping for a veto.
Yeah.
We didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
This year there's going to be a lot with reauthorizing highways. There's going to be housing and urban development is up this year. We're hoping that the president really can enforce some spending restraint by Congress by using his veto. He hasn't yet, but we're hoping.
Yeah, who was it? His father was like the king of vetoes, wasn't he, in the first couple of years?
His father vetoed 42 bills as president, which is a pretty good rate.
Yeah.
Only one was overridden.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good success rate. I think one of the reasons President Bush isn't vetoing is because he has a Republican Congress. There are issues there where Speaker Hastert and Senator Frist don't want to pass legislation until they're assured that the president will sign it. So ahead of time, they go to the White House and get assurance the president will sign it, and then they go ahead and pass the awful bills.
God help us. Are we wishing we had gridlock again?
You know, gridlock?
Gridlock was not a bad thing.
No, gridlock is not a bad thing because, you know, if you start with the idea that most of what government does, it screws up, then the idea of with gridlock, not much happens means not much damage is done.
That's right. That's kind of how I felt about it. Brian Riedel, thank you very much for joining us today. Good job, and we'll get you back on the show again another day. Brian Riedel, ladies and gentlemen, with the Heritage Foundation, we appreciate his efforts. We'll take a quick break. It's 29 after. We'll be right back with Russell Brown after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.